Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Vampire Historian Podcast. This is your host, Dax Stokes. And in this episode, I did an interview with Brett Warren, who is the translator and editor of a new series of historic vampire books. He's calling The Historic Vampire Debate. This is a Kickstarter project that just went live last week, actually right after we recorded this episode. Within a day, it actually went live, so in the episode we talk about how it will be going live at some point. It is live now and has already raised over $6,000 just in the past few days. And this project is a translation work of four previously untranslated works on vampires, mostly from the 18th century, that discuss several of the vampire panics sort of that were or important cases that were founded in Europe at the time. And they come from different points of view, and you'll hear Brett talk about those different books. The Kickstarter project itself is going to be creating leather-bound editions. These are really very nice-looking books that will be available to you that you can only order through this Kickstarter. After that, they will be available in different formats. So I hope you enjoy this episode, this interview with Brett Warren. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, and get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in vampires?
Yeah, so it's very interesting for me because I come from a forensics perspective. I just graduated last year with a Master of Science in Crimes and Investigation, and I have been studying the processing and analysis of death scenes and crime scenes, and the interpretation of evidence into the legal realm so that it could be interpreted and explained and before a jury in a court setting. Part of my program was the study of forensic pathology and medical legal death investigation. And in fact, one of my professors that taught these courses is the current chief medical examiner in the state of Maryland, Dr. Victor Whedon. And so we did a case study on the history and evolution of the autopsy and how all the various changes had evolved into modern day forensics. And so, but I have been working on these specific books, these translations that I've been working on of the historic vampire debate. And there's a broad connection between the various investigative methods that had occurred in the past and what we do today. Mm-hmm. And so there's a kind of connection there where I come at these cases of vampires that actually historically occurred, but I'm taking more of like a forensic perspective to add additional context, if you
understand. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the project? What, how did it come about? Which books did you decide? Were there other books that you decided not to do?
Okay, so there are, I should preface that when these historical cases occurred, especially in the around the year 1732, that entire decade, there was this academic debate between theologians, surgeons, alchemists, and a variety of academics to try to understand what was really going on at this time. And so the first book I did was back in 2017, and it was written by Michael Ronk. It's called The Tractate of the Chewing and Smacking of the Dead in Graves. Mm-hmm. And I really, when I started translating this thing, I really wanted to read it, but there was no English translation of any of these books. And so I decided that I would translate it and bring it to the world. And so, that's kind of how it started, was to allow people to really, be able to read these texts for the first time in English. Mm-hmm. And so the project is, it was started as one book that I did in 2017. It turned into like an obsession and I started to translate more and more over time. And through the course of my academic career, on the side, I've just been working on these translations and also providing additional context with the modern, you know, scientific analyses of some of these cases that I, you know, apply footnotes to. And also one of the other things is to tell a story of the actual authors, to give a biographical introduction of the various people that were involved in this debate. And mm-hmm. So I had completed 4 volumes of a variety of translations, compiling most of the works from this debate. And there's a lot of them. Some of them aren't big enough to fit in one volume, because Michael Ramp's book is like 300 pages, but there's other tracts and short pamphlets that were like 10 or 12 pages. And so it made more sense to compile some of these together.
Sure.
And to separate the volumes into different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So one volume would be Michael Ramp's book, which is about 300 pages. And then the others are other perspectives in alchemy, and then a volume in medicine, and then a volume in theology.
Great. And most of these were written in German and Latin?
Yes, German and Latin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you already speak German fluently, or did you have to learn as you went along?
I definitely learned. I have part of my academia was actually the study of linguistics.
Okay.
And so I had spent some years in China. So I have a history of learning languages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I very diligently studied the older German specifically,
mm-hmm.
Which these were written in, not the modern German. And then I also studied Latin for mm-hmm. a while. And so that's where I kind of got the idea that I could be able to translate these things. Yeah.
About how long did it take to translate each volume? Is it about a year each one? Or?
Well, I guess it was, it's kind of difficult to say, because I've been doing this while I was going to school full time.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. Not only obtaining my bachelor's degree, but also my master's. Like I said, the first book, Michael Rumpf's Tractates, I translated that in about 2 years. And then the others, it were a lot easier to do, but mm-hmm. I have been working on them ever since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's still some things I'm working on and editing and revamping, but the works are done and they're ready to publish for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what are the different, you mentioned the subjects of them, but what are some of the different works in the other volumes?
Okay, so just like Michael Ramp's Tractate, they're in the volume for alchemy. I compiled several of them. The first is an anonymous work that is titled The Official and Cumbersome Relation of Those Vampires or People Suckers. And some of these titles are so long, you know,
sure.
So I'm just gonna cut them short a little bit.
Yeah.
But the person who wrote this book, it's a very short tract, but he came from the perspective of a Paracelsian. Paracelsus was one of the great alchemists of the early modern era. And he comes from that philosophy, the philosophy of Paracelsus. And so the approach that he took to these cases of vampirism, to try to understand and to either determine whether or not this case, the various phenomena in these cases were true, comes from that perspective, the perspective mm-hmm. of the alchemist. And to kind of explain that a little bit, in Spagyric alchemy, the principle was to separate any given substance into its most base form. So we consider this the philosopher's stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the prima materia of every, or the seed from which every substance in every single kingdom on earth comes from. So there's 3 kingdoms, the kingdom of animal, vegetable, and mineral. And they believed that any given substance would have 3 forms. which comes to the modern chemistry. There's the liquid form, the solid form, and the vaporous or gaseous form. And so this brought the philosophy on humans. How many parts are there in the human being? There could be the human body, the soul, and the spirit. Well, in alchemy, the spirit was the vaporous form and the soul was the liquid form. And so you have this perspective on what happens to the body after death. Is there a spirit that goes to God? And does the soul remain? Mm-hmm. And so the alchemists believed that there were these three parts. And there is a spirit world. And that after death, spirits can interact with humans and life in this physical realm. And so taking that perspective, he applies this philosophy to these cases of vampires that were reported by these surgeons, the imperial surgeons in the Kingdom of Hungary.
Sure.
And tries to understand it that way. But there was a refutation of this philosophy because mm-hmm. There was a huge debate at the time whether or not there were three parts or two parts to man. And so this other volume has a couple of other tracks that are connected. The next one was written by Gottlob Heinrich Voigt, who wrote two tracks. The first is a short reservation, basically his thoughts on the prior tract, and he argues against this guy, this alchemist, and he writes another tract also to explain the history of where these three parts of man came from and how it applied into medicine, and he tries to explain all of these different philosophies. And so you have a debate here within this one volume of these three tracts mm-hmm. written by these two people, and it's just a dispute. And what's sure. really interesting, and not a lot of people know this or consider this, but in the past, if there was a controversy and you wanted to write about it, well, the only medium is publication. Mm-hmm. You'd write a short pamphlet about it, you'd publish it, it'd have to get printed and put into a bookstore. And if somebody wants to refute you, they'd buy it, they'd write out their own arguments, they'd get it printed, and then they'd sell it at the same bookstore.
Sure.
And so you have this, by compiling these tracts and dissertations together, you see these people argue against each other. And it's like the earliest form of like a Twitter debate. But the mm-hmm. only people that are really involved are the highest learned in society.
And I think it's interesting. This is the volume that you sent me a preview of. And for the listeners who know vampire history, this isn't just dealing with any, you know, kind of random vampire cases. The main case that discusses Arnold Paol, which is one of the biggest, you know, vampire cases that we have record of.
Correct.
So it's not just random stuff. This is another piece now in that history of these, you know, the two major Serbian cases of the 1720s are still the ones that we go to all the time. And this adds another piece to that. It's just this volume alone. So I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I also, I appendixed at the end of these three tracks, I appendixed other works that are mm-hmm. very rare. I had to, like, I have only found, in the next one, the next little publication here was a kind of like a newsletter. It was called The Remarkable Curious Brief. And this was a German newsletter, and people would submit letters to this anonymous author, and he would publish the letters in this periodical. And he covers what the other two people wrote about. Mm-hmm. And so he gives his own perspective. And also he reports on another case that happened in 1718, Michael Kasparik, mm-hmm. and then applies his own perspective to that case as well. And then there's another tract I found that called The Philosophical Experiment by Christoph Friedrich D'Amelio. And this tract I could not find anywhere. I could only find one library, and it's not even accessible until another year because they're moving all of their, it's in a library in the Royal Danish Archives, and they're moving all of their entire archive to another city. Mm. And so even if somebody wanted to access it right now, they can't. But I was able to get a copy of it, and I translated it, and I put it in this. And so nobody, especially in America, is ever going to be able to read these. Sure. They're not going to be able to find them unless they go abroad. And that first periodical, the only one I could find was in Hungary. Mm-hmm. And it was during the pandemic where none of the libraries were open, but a very nice individual who works at the, a clerk at the library, sent me a copy of it by email. And I'm very grateful for her. And I was able to translate these and put them together. And it's a very, not only do you have these works, but you have these very difficult, hard to find pieces that sure. add another layer to the debate.
And so why don't you tell us a little bit about then what you've done with these and what it is that the project that you've got going on?
Okay. Well, like these two volumes that I just told you about, there's also two others, mm-hmm. one in medicine, which is written by an anonymous author, WSGE. I published that one, and I published a bunch of letters that were associated with the academic medical dispute on this topic. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to investigate who this author was. Who was this WSGE? And he leaves very subtle clues as kind of like a game in his book on vampires. And I believe I figured it out. And so mm-hmm. one of the things I really wanted to do was not only give the books themselves to a English-speaking Western audience, but I also wanted to provide more history. Who were the authors? What did they have? Like, why did they get involved with the debate? And the fourth book was written by Johann Christoph Ehrenberg, who wrote Sensible and Christian Thoughts Upon the Vampires or Blood-Sucking Dead. And this man was an educator. He was an educator, a theologian. And for him, Princess Ernestine, Elizabeth Ernestine Antoinette implored him. So you have nobles that are asking people to write upon this. And in fact, what a lot of people don't really know is that the narrative of the cases didn't just end with, oh, some surgeons went to the village and they conducted some autopsies and they wanted to understand what happened, and then they wrote a report about it. And then they executed the bodies. They had this procedure to execute the bodies and, you know, end the plague of all these people dying. Well, it didn't mm-hmm. end there, because there was an ensign, especially this case of Arnold Cale. After the case had been reported, there was an ensign to the Prince Alexandrian Regiment who personally wrote a letter to a doctor in Germany asking him, imploring him to answer the question, what is going on? Is this sure. is this a phenomenon that is sympathetic in nature? Is it demonic? Or is it divine? Like, what is going on? And then, so you have the compilation of this debate from all these different people implored by nobles and high ranking officials. You have letters from ambassadors who were in Vienna at the time. When they got hold of this report, they would send messages back to their respective kingdoms. Like, so that's how, for example, that's why we have the word vampire today in English. It's mm-hmm. because the report ended up in a London pamphlet. But how did it get there? It got there from an ambassador in Vienna who sent it to London, and then it ended up in a periodical, the Gentleman's Magazine, among others, in 1732. And so you have all these letters and correspondence from not only, you know, not only doctors and physicians and trying to figure it out, but also people that were in high ranking positions. Because even King Frederick Wilhelm I of Prussia commissioned the Royal Prussian Society of Sciences to, which is a member of a variety of doctors and physicians, to give an expert opinion on this specific case of Arnold Pale. And so it's not only providing the history, but the background, what actually occurred, what was the debate that happened from these crazy events in history.
Sure.
Another thing I wanted to do was not only give these books, but I also wanted to give people an archive that they can have and possess and hold on their own. So with these books, each volume is also going to come with a map, a historic map that was a replica of a map that was created at the time of the various locations where these events had occurred. But also, I got the license from the various archives to also print out and publish the actual imperial reports. So I'm going to create replicas of the reports themselves written by physicians and, and imperials to explain what happened in these events.
Great. And so how are these going to be, how are you making them available then?
So I'm an independent publisher. Actually, when I had first translated Michael Arump's tractate, I went to so many publishers to try to get this published, and everyone refused me. They either refused me or ignored me. And so I had published books before. And so I was like, okay, I'll just do it myself. So I created a Esoterica Press, and I decided to do this myself. But because I'm an independent, I need assistance with it, especially because I want the first editions of these volumes and the archive of these reports and maps to be in leather, deluxe, you know, very special. I want the first editions to be special for people. So I created a Kickstarter. And if you go to Kickstarter and you search the historic vampire debate, it's going to come up. It's in the pre-launch phase now, but as soon as we get 200 followers, it's going to launch, and anyone will be able to buy one of these volumes, even just one. Each volume will be separate, and each volume will come with its own goodies, such as the map, a map or a record or some other things that I have put together to give a little extra piece of history to the people that want these volumes.
Sure. Great. And so how did you go about creating these leather volumes? Did you just do it all yourself? Or?
Well, I'm arranging everything myself, but I'm actually using the same press that Easton Press uses. And so they're going to be the same quality as the leather-bound deluxe editions from Easton Press. And so all it takes is money, right? Sure. The more units that you order, the cheaper it is, but it's still pretty expensive. If I want to put out 100 volumes of one, 100 units of one volume, it would cost like about $8,000. But what I'm doing here is allowing people to buy them as many as they can, so we can just put it out a lot cheaper than that. So each volume will be about $80 to $85, and it'll include the map. Each one will include a map, and each one will include also an archival document, replica. And so, and this is very cheap compared to the other Kickstarters that I've seen for leather-bound books, and even even most of the books on the Easton Press website are pretty expensive, if not more expensive than this. I'm trying to do high quality, and I'm trying to get this out for people to have this treasure of history in their own possession.
Great. So let's see, right now you've got about 171 followers. So hopefully pretty soon that'll open up for you so that you can make these available.
Yeah, I expect it to be at least by the end of the week, but mm-hmm. we'll see. I'm typically getting like 10 to 20 a day. So
oh, that's great.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
And then after this initial launch, you're going to publish them kind of somewhere else? Or?
Yeah. After this, I'm going to the leather-bound versions with the map and the archival documents, those are exclusive to Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. So after Kickstarter ends, they're not going to be available anymore. But I will publish them in paperback and maybe a hardcover as well.
Sure.
But these specific volumes, these are going to be special.
Great. Let's see. I really just want to encourage everybody to take a look at this because, like I said, I've seen kind of a preview of them, and the leather versions especially look like they're really nice books, well put together. Did you design them yourself, or?
So the designer is a woman in Poland, actually, and she does lots of really cool works, and her profile and all of her information is also going to be on the mm-hmm. on the Kickstarter, so people can go and see all of her work on her Instagram and stuff. She has beautiful work, and I don't want to butcher her name
sure.
because it's hard Polish, and it'll be difficult. So but I recommend people go to the as soon as the Kickstarter launches, you could see her work. But yeah, she did mm-hmm. very beautiful designs, and I worked with her every step of the way. I gave my input, and yeah, like each volume is going to be a different perspective. There's alchemical and medical symbols that, and philosophical symbols that were going to be on each volume to differentiate mm-hmm. them. And so, yeah, I'm very excited about it. They look very good, and I cannot wait for these to be in people's hands.
And you're also recreating all of the artwork and everything from the original pamphlets.
Yes. And in fact, the format mm-hmm. of each page is pretty much the same. I'm using for titles. The titles are going to be in the same style and format as the originals. But I also, in the English, I used like an 18th century font mm-hmm. to give it more of like an old Gothic feeling. And the pages are also going to be laid, which is a type of way that the paper is, you know, made so mm-hmm. that it will have the feeling of an old book from the 1800s. But I included a lot in these. Mm-hmm. I found lots of old portraits, like engraved portraits and engraved pictures that I'm adding to these volumes to give additional context. And when certain concepts on like human bodily decay or anything related to that could be related to modern forensics, I put footnotes and I explain them from a modern perspective, mm-hmm. Even citing peer-reviewed literature of our day, so that people can have additional context in these scientific principles, but also the historical principles, because I did it for history also. Whenever there's a concept, I cited it and I found a source from history that's talking about the same thing, and I explained it a little bit for extra context in the footnote. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of work to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a lot of work. Like what I've seen, even just the introductions that you've written and stuff, seem to be really, really good. So this is going to be a really big work, I think, for those of us who kind of study this from any kind of perspective. But I think it's really interesting to come at it from your perspective of a forensic anthropologist or forensic scientist to kind of see how things have developed. And, you know, these are early cases of autopsies, which I'm sure is really, really helpful. And obviously one of the main things that we talk about all the time with vampires is how a lot of it was just misunderstandings of, you know, medicine, and these books will really probably, I think, help clear some of that up too. So yeah. Is there anything else you want to tell us about them?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, this is actually the first of another campaign as well. So if this is successful, mm-hmm. I have more to come for sure. And Great. It's very exciting what's going to come. So people If you want your own archive of historic documents detailing these real cases from history, you'll have it. You'll have it in your hand. Mm-hmm. So I implore you to go to the Kickstarter, sign up. And when it does, even if it's just one volume, you will have a piece of history, and you will be one of the first to read and study this in English for the first mm-hmm. time. It's very exciting.
Great. And all the link to that Kickstarter will be in the show notes here and posted with the episode so people can find it easily and go ahead and hit save so that you are ready when it pops open, which will hopefully be very, very soon. And actually, maybe by the time this podcast comes out, which will probably be a couple of days, it may already be ready and live. So
We'll see what happens.
Encourage people
Kickstarter. Go to Kickstarter and search the historic vampire debate, and you'll be able to find it. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate talking to you. It's very exciting to be here.
It's no problem at all. So thank you for being here.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brett Warren. The link to his Kickstarter will be in the show notes and on thevampirehistorian.com. You can also find pictures there from the project. You can also find him at Esoterica Press, which has a Facebook page, which will also be linked. And then you can also find this podcast at thevampirehistorian.com on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can like and subscribe to the podcast in various formats: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. See you next time.